Blog Talk Radio.
68% of Americans find it, well, would rather talk about their weight instead of their savings. So, I'd like to know from you ladies who are very open, or at least open with close friends or relatives about your finances. Does that statistic at all resonate with you?
Welcome to the Midday Money Show, your daily shot now of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt-Free Divas, and I love to talk about all things as they relate to your money. I invited two good girlfriends to chat about our informal money mentor situation because in study after study, I'm learning just how uncomfortable people are with talking about money. Unless you're somehow blessed with great financial acumen, staying mum about your money challenges can be a recipe for years of struggle. Think about all the life skills we're intentionally taught. Was money in that rotation for you? For some, it was, like my good friend Dana Sharp. I've had her on the show before as the millionaire next door. She got it from her father, and now she's passing it on to others. For others, like my friend Tanisha and I, we've absorbed much of what we've learned post-adulthood through trial and error. But intentionally or not, we've clung on to Dana as a money mentor. They'll share a bit about how the money conversation goes down in this circle, because as Tanisha put it,
I don't know y'all like that in a depth. We got to get to know each other first. You got to take me out to dinner or something.
But I appreciate their candor, their humor, their willingness to delve past service level issues. I want to keep traveling with these ladies for as long as our wealth and our health permits, but we have to do the hard work now of preparing financially for a solid future. All resources mentioned today will eventually make it to my website. Just look for this episode, Finding Your Money Mentor, when you head over to debtfreedivas.org.
I'm sitting here with a couple of friends in Scottsdale, Arizona, and one of the things I really appreciate about this group is just our ability to share. We talk about everything from relationships to career advice to money. And money actually, would you guys say money comprises a large part of our conversation?
It's been an important part. I think we talk about a number of important matters, and yes, money, financial security being one of the big.
So actually, even today, we both had a conversation actually separately about financial independence or our plans for retirement. Are we on track? I thought that was really interesting that both of you guys asked me in different ways what my plans were. And it, you know, forced me to think about some things and where, you know, where we want to go and getting back to putting an actual plan down on paper. And that's the kind of thing I think is important for people to just have those conversations and be comfortable having those conversations. So I bring this up because there was a recent study by the Money Matters report that talked about just how difficult it is for people to have open conversations about finances. And this, one of the things this report found was that 68% of Americans find it, well, would rather talk about their weight instead of their savings. So I'd like to know from you ladies who are very open, at least open with close friends or relatives about your finances. Does that statistic at all resonate with you?
No, not with me and with my close friends. And the reason why is because I think it's important to talk, when you have relationships, to talk about important things like finances, to talk about retirement, to talk about how you're going to save for your children's college. And a lot of these conversations are not necessarily hard, but they're complex. Because it depends on the person's situation, depends on where the economy is. And so, and there's a lot of different ways to solve financial, not problems, but opportunities. A lot of times people wait until they're 50 years old to think about retirement. And really, you should be thinking about retirement as soon as you get your first job. That should be the first thing that you're thinking about, because it goes into the equation of all the other things that you're trying to do. You're trying to get a house. A lot of times you're getting married. You have your first job. You're thinking about your kids. But your retirement should not be put on the back burner until all of those things are done. It should be part of the equation in the beginning. So I just wanted to know what your plans were, because I wanted to make sure that you start thinking about and putting into action what you're going to do for retirement.
Do you find it difficult to discuss finances with other people? Because as a person who is closer to retirement yourself and who has been working on putting this plan for your post-working years in place for a while, you're in the minority. We'll just say it like that. We were talking earlier, too, about senior citizens 55 through 64 have in a 401k a median balance of $15,000. And I know that doesn't include other types of savings, pension sources and things like that. But even just to think about for that age group that's so close to retirement, having such a little amount in their account, how is it difficult for you, or do you find it difficult to approach people like Tanisha and I, or even like your children, about finances?
No, I think sometimes it might be a little frustrating for me because I bring it up and the answer sometimes is, well, I'm not thinking about that right now, or that's not important to me, or that's not a priority. And I care for my close friends and my children, and I want to make sure that they're financially set when they retire. So I wouldn't say that it's hard for me. I would say that it's frustrating if they don't want to talk about it.
All right, Tanisha. So you and I are kind of the midpoint in our careers, and so we are really kind of ramping up and thinking seriously about how we're going to fund a life beyond our working years. But I will say that you are open and honest about the things that you're dealing with, the financial struggles that you're having. Have you always been that way? Okay, so she's shaking her head. No, she's not always been that way. So what's helped you get over the hesitancy?
Absolutely not, is my answer to have always been that way as far as being open, actually about anything. A situation that really changed that for me is just going through something unrelated to finances and thinking that I was the only one or my family was the only one going through this particular situation for years. And it wasn't until I reached out and found support that I realized, oh, other people are doing this. And for me, not being alone, not realizing that I'm the only one, and then also in like reaching out, able to find different resources, see how other people made it out. From finances, it was paramount for me to see people that had come out of similar six-digit debt like I am striving to do, because it was, you know, when I first started on this financial freedom journey, it was just overwhelming. It was debilitating. I just really didn't see a way out. And after actually searching out situations and searching out people, whether it was through Dave Ramsey's talk show, you interviewed a couple of people, I think it was Aja and then Damus, two people out of Detroit that had overcome, like, I think one was $120,000, another was $100,000 worth of debt. I'm like, okay, you know, this might potentially possibly be possible. And what changed it, or you were asking, like, why am I open now, is because of how life-changing it was for other people to be open to me. You know, even if it wasn't directly for me, but someone else's openness helped free me. And so I definitely believe in being wise and still who you share your business with.
Talk about that a little bit. What kind of person would you look to share your business with? We all have a lot of friends and acquaintances and family members. Like, how do you choose one person to be open with versus another?
Probably overall, like, mindset, being, I guess, a positive person, someone that is thoughtful. Probably someone that's thoughtful and someone that's honest, but thoughtful. It has to be some connection, because I don't talk openly to any and everyone, but generally just a decent person.
And Dana, for you, are there any topics that are off limits when it comes to finances?
No, they're not off limits, but I might give general things. For example, if somebody asked me, you know, what is my salary? I might just say it's over $100,000, just so you get a range, but I wouldn't necessarily say exactly what it is.
Actually, I met a young lady, and we just happened to, I met a young lady, and we had met, you know, several times, and we happened to be in this coffee shop and just talking for several hours. And that was the first time someone directly asked me how much I make. And I was actually taken back when she originally asked, but I willingly shared it, you know, with her. And actually, so you're asking, like, how do you determine who you're open and honest with. And so in that span of meeting her a couple of different times, and then even in that, we ended up being there at that particular cafe about 3 or 4 hours, you know, realizing that she came from a somewhat similar background where didn't come from means and like kind of a first generation like professional working or making a substantial amount of money and just like how that's a different mindset. So we had all that discussion before it even happened about my salary. And even though I was taken aback, I was like, oh, so this is what it's like, you know? And I was like, good for her for asking directly, you know, or whatever, because it's like, you know, I can't speak for everybody. I want to say, you know, we can have a tendency to sit in silence and shame because it's like, if we don't know, there's a disconnect in between like how much money people of color make and like white Caucasian men or women. There's disparities in that. But if we're not talking to each other and we don't know, how do we, you know, how are we going to overcome it? Yeah, how can we fix it? So, yeah, even though I was taken aback for a second, I even told her that or whatever, I happily shared it. And she was asking, like, how it felt once I made, you know, started making 6 figures and just how I handled things. And it was a refreshing conversation to have, but it was my first time having a direct conversation like that. So
did you say 6 figures or did you say the exact amount?
I said the exact amount, but I don't know y'all like that in a depth. We got to get to know each other first. You got to take me out to dinner or something.
So you have kind of a number of groups of friends. You have, you know, friends from high school. You have friends from DePaul. You have friends that you work with. Are you as open with all of your friends from all these various levels?
Yes, because I think we can all learn from each other. And we have different things that we can share and learn. So I talk to a lot of people about investments and about finances and about what I might have done recently. For example, my mother died, and then right after that, a friend of ours died. And the friend, well, he was a relative, didn't have any money. And he had money all while he was living, but when he died, he had nothing. So the family had to actually get together and put money, you know, up when he died. And I thought, I don't want my children to have to do that. So right away, you know, I took $10,000 and put it up with a bank account with my son. And then I shared that with other people saying, you know, you want to make sure that your children don't go into any kind of financial debt to bury you. You know, I don't think that's right, but it depends. So I'd share things like that, and I do that often to make sure that we're all kind of understanding some of the things. There might be some things that you would know that I wasn't aware of, long-term care. So it's not just investments. It's not just money, but it's also other things, long-term care, deaths, weddings, all kinds of things like that that involve money, college funds and things like that.
Mistakes. Like, I've made a lot of mistakes as well. And even the young lady in the coffee house, you know, I mentioned a number of things that I did wrong and that I would do differently. And even, like, current stuff I'm working through now.
Dana, you have done a lot of things right, we'll put it that way. But at least from the outside looking in, right? But I'm sure that there are some things that you've, you know, learned. And I want to ask you, as a kind of a type A person, kind of uber successful, is it hard for you to open up about, you know, the things that you've done wrong or things you would go back and do differently if you had an opportunity?
Absolutely. Because there's no one's perfect. And I think that's part of sharing. If I always seem like I'm the one with all the great answers, which I'm not, because like I said, it depends on your situation, your time, where you are in your life, then no one would share with me, because it's a two-way thing. It's not just me sharing with everyone. It's me getting ideas and nuggets and understanding of what they're doing so I can grow and learn. So I definitely have no problem sharing some of the things that I've done wrong or maybe could have done differently. I think another thing that a lot of people don't do is seek help from experts. I had a financial advisor when I was 25, and I might not have had a lot of money at that point, But I was always asking questions. I had an accountant that I talked to about what should I do. They weren't always ongoing, and every year I had the same person, but I would always do that every couple of years.
That's where I'm definitely lacking. And I think a part of that is like fear, like who to trust. Like I've worked so hard for this money or whatever, and I don't want to get swindled or whatever. And yeah, I've been thinking about that for a long time, but I still don't have.
But you can talk to people for free. Like you can go to your bank and they have a financial, and that's what I do. Like I've gone to Bank of America and they have a financial advisor and you don't have to pay them anything and they'll run something. And then you can go to your insurance company and you can have them run it and then just start thinking and talking to people without paying. You can start getting an understanding of the different kinds of investments, because it depends on how risky you are, like I said, where you are in your life, what you want to do with your money, but you can talk to a lot of people without paying.
And I'm glad to share this with Team Debt Free because you're getting a glimpse of what we do on a regular basis. And it's not all the time. I'm not always talking to Dana about, you know, what should I do about this? Or I'm not always talking to Tanisha about her plans for financial freedom. But, you know, when you brought up that question today, she asked me today, are you on track for retirement? When I said no, based on what experts say we should have saved in our retirement at this point, she asked me, did that bother me?
Once again, the question, how you have to find out how much you need for retirement before you can determine if you're on track or not and what you want to do while you're retired. So if you want to travel, you might need more or less. But I've been told through a financial advisor that in working with him, I came up with an amount with him. And now we're working towards that amount, depending on my lifestyle and what I want to do.
You're right. Cause those are very like generic and general. You should have, I think it was 4 times your salary saved by this time. It's going to be very different for somebody who lives in California versus somebody who lives in North Carolina or something like that. So those are, again, just very general numbers. But I think the key question that I was thinking about, she asked me, did it worry me? That was the thing. And those are good questions, you know. And why doesn't it worry me? Because that was the answer. No, I'm not worried. I don't feel like worry is an emotion that I need to invest. I need to look at things and I need to make plans. But worry right now is not something I think will be productive. But I think I appreciated the conversation, you know, or at least just bringing it up and having to even just think through it. Because sometimes we do get busy. You know, we do get busy with life and you know, savings and things that are long, you know, long-term goals cannot be a priority.
But you know that was about me, right?
I know.
Okay.
I totally know.
Oh, okay.
But it was still one of those things where you're forced to kind of ponder that for yourself. And
are you worried?
Not as much as I've been in the past, but yeah, it does concern me. So a long time ago, probably at least 10 years ago, we had talked about, like, you know, where you were. And I was using that as a marker for myself with, you know, plus the cost of inflation or whatever. And I'm like, I'm behind. You know, by the time I get to this age, I need to have at least data amount. I need to have at least data amount plus, you know, whatever for inflation. But yeah, with the four times your salary, I am off a little bit. And travel is important to me, so yeah, I got some things to do. The biggest thing is getting rid of debt, so I'm looking forward to that.
All right, so this has been great. I really appreciate. Again, I didn't even know that it would kind of feel like this, but this is us basically. You know, this is kind of what we do.
We are much cooler than this, though. I would just like to say Team Debt Free. We just don't talk about 401k budgets, financial analysts, the stock market. We're so much cooler than this, FYI.
So I appreciate you guys doing this, especially it's late. This is our last day in Scottsdale, and Dana is ready for nighty nights. I have one last question. We're joking, we're laughing, whatever. But money is a very sensitive subject, especially people who are struggling. What do you think are some things that people can do to be more comfortable about opening up and sharing? And what tips do you guys have for finding somebody that's going to be receptive and responsible and productive as a accountability partner or a member of a money group?
I think as in any topic, you need to find someone who, first of all, that you trust and that you feel comfortable talking about your finances with, and that you feel does a good job or does a similar job as you want to be or you want to do. For example, if you want to do a presentation, you want to ask somebody who does a very excellent presentation and presents well, and talk to them about how can I do that. So with finances, it's the same thing. Find somebody that you're comfortable with, that you feel does a great job in doing that, and just start building that. And once again, it's relationship. Everything is relationship. So start building that relationship with them. It's interesting. One of my children, his friends wanted to start having a conversation with me about, not about finances, but just about life. So we start doing a Skype once a month to talk about just see what I got to deal with. And then we stopped it. We did it for several months, but they were talking just in general about advice about school, careers, relationships, and finances and everything. And so, but they trusted me and had a relationship with me first before we started doing it.
So look towards your responsible friend, mom, as a potential money mentor. Okay, got it.
I agree with Dana. Like, pay attention with your eyesight and with your hearing. Like, look and see and watch. You know, watch people for a while. Like I mentioned, not YouTube, but like Dave Ramsey, like the fact that he, I don't know if he still does that, have people on that talk about how they got out of debt, because it's like I needed to feel comfortable talking before I would even ask somebody about their situation, and to let me know that, like I said, I'm not the only one. So like, you know, if you want to be in the closet for a minute, you know, check out resources online where they have like podcasts and people are talking, you know, open and honest about how they, or I'm assuming honest, how they came out of debt. And that gave me hope. And stop, you know, pay attention, look and listen, and look at people's character. And, you know, you don't divulge everything at one point, at one time, but as the relationship develops and grows, then you can become more and more open. And you be honest too. And bring somebody along once you get out. You know what I'm saying? Each one teach one. Each one teach one.
Now, I told these ladies that we would do this recording in like 15 minutes, and things didn't quite work out that way. It was a lot of giggling and take twos. It's quite a funny group. But I hope you have or can recruit money mentors or accountability partners to help stabilize your journey out of debt. One thing we didn't chat about was that for the last maybe 5 or 6 years, if not more, we get together right around the first of the year and get our annual goals down on paper and review the previous year. And I really look forward to that as well. And I would encourage you to add that into your money mentor relationship, because I'm so convinced that accountability is the secret sauce for getting out of debt. I'm gearing up to open the Transform Your Money Accountability Project again. So get on the list. Head over to debtfreedivas.org/transform. Thanks for tuning in, Team Debt Free. Until we chat again, have a great money week.